For Discovery News, I'm Will Johnson, and it's Friday once again, and that means it's time for the Friday News Feedbag. I think I intro this the same way every time, don't you think, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds exactly the same.
I should mix it up. Discovery News reporters James Williams and Jorge Ribas joining us as always. Hi, guys.
Hello.
How's it going, Will?
I'm good. Jorge, you're in the news bunker.
I am.
And James, you're on the road.
I'm standing at the base of the Scripps Pier in the Scripps Institute of Oceanography in La Jolla, California.
That sounds cool. Are you shouting? Also,
Does it sound like I'm shouting?
Yeah, you can lower your voice.
All right, I'll lower my voice. I'm just excited.
All right, well, we should.
He's just like, he's got his arms outstretched at the end of the pier, and he's just screaming.
I just keep running back and forth on it. They're calling security now.
I would be more impressed if you were actually calling from like the tip, like the end of a longboard while you were surfing. Toes to the nose kind of thing, but whatever, that's cool.
It's too bad, James. Yeah. I mean, he could say he's pretty much doing anything, right?
Right.
That's true.
He should have taken that opportunity.
I'm actually just downstairs in the cafeteria, Jorge.
All right, wasting time, guys. Cut it out.
Okay,
first of all, every Friday we do this on Discovery News, the Friday News Feedbag. Our two lovable and smart reporters, James.
We're teddy bears.
James and Jorge bring us their favorite stories of the week. James tells us two, or rather three, normally, and Jorge brings us three stories, and then our listeners get to vote on the favorite story of the week. This week, however, we are, James is making us rush, actually. We're in a bit of a hurry because James is on the road doing a lot of work, right?
Yeah, I'm right in between two interviews.
All right. So our listeners suffer, but hopefully this will turn out well. And instead of doing three stories this week, we'll do two stories apiece. And at the end of the podcast, I will tell our listeners how to vote on their favorite story. So that's how it works. First of all, before we jump into this week's stories, we'll give you the results of last week's stories. We got a lot of great emails and phone calls, as always. We got this email I like a lot from Anthony. Wrote, "My vote goes to George."
Yeah.
George.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know what's funny is maybe that might be like a relative. Some of my relatives call me George. So.
Okay. Because your name is Jorge, so I can see it. Okay. My vote goes to George/Jorge for his drunken fly story. I think it would be fun to get flies drunk and watch.
It would be.
So I think that's
I don't really know if that was the focus of the study, but I'm sure they had a good time watching the drunken flies.
I think that's the appeal for a lot of our listeners, too, apparently. And we also got these phone calls with their votes. Here's a few samples.
Hi, my name is Sarah from West Virginia, and I'm going to vote for the new textiles, though it was really close because I really like the description of the three-dimensional projection of the viruses and the way that they were associated with the Death Star. And that was very cool, but my favorite story was new textiles so that we don't all get hit while we're running in the dark. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hi, my name is James. I was going to vote for the memory one about 10 minutes of talking improves your memory because I was really hoping that yelling at the iPod during a podcast might count. That was until I heard the drunken fruit fly story, which definitely gets my vote because you can't help but hear about drunken fruit flies and not smile.
So I don't know. I guess, does that guy not like our podcast? He mentions
I don't know why he was yelling.
Yelling at the podcast. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but anyway, he did vote for the fly story, and that had to do, again, that was Jorge's story, and here we go, drum roll, the winner was...
Hey, wait, hey, can I say something? Well, if that guy was yelling in the phone for his thing, I was yelling in the phone at the beginning of the podcast, and I wasn't angry.
Yeah. Maybe he was excited.
Just saying, let's not judge so quickly, man.
Yeah, you're right.
Good point, James. Well, you interrupted the drum roll there.
Sorry.
Well, no, you're probably trying to take away from some of the excitement because it is Jorge's story, the fly story, the drunken fly story.
Cool.
George's story, we'll call him now. And that was a story about basically getting flies inebriated so that we could understand alcoholism better. So it actually was a very interesting story and could have some very useful implications, right?
Yeah, okay. Definitely. And
right.
So I guess that ties. I think that ties it up now, right?
I have no idea what the score is anymore.
I'm not. Nor
do I care.
Right,
yeah. Does anyone care?
Nah, not really.
You know what?
Go on forever. So
yes, someone cares. My mom asked about it.
that's right, James's mom.
I was going to say your mom probably.
So it is tied up.
Yeah, I think it's 14 all now because I think James went ahead last week.
All right, at some point we should say we got to play this game to something, right?
All right,
and then we'll replace you two with two other reporters.
Oh yeah,
correspondents.
Well, there aren't any other Discovery News. There's one.
Yeah, there's one. Well, we'll talk about that later. All right, off air. All right, let's get into it because James, I know the clock is ticking for you for your highly important interviews.
Yes.
George, you want to start it off this week?
I'll start off real quick, yeah.
Okay.
My first story comes out of the University of Washington, where they are taking the photo-sharing website Flickr. I'm sure you know you guys. I don't know if you guys have used it, but I've used it a little bit. And they're downloading all the thousands upon thousands of photos that are actually Flickr holds a billion photos. So they're downloading thousands of these photos to using them to recreate, to create 3D models of, you know, famous, you know, places, essentially, like the Statue of Liberty or the Duomo or the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris and things like that. And what they're essentially doing is they created a tool called phototourism. And the computer, it's like a mapping model, and it'll take these photos from Flickr, the ones that, you know, let's say they type in Notre Dame, Paris, and it'll find, you know, 80,000 photos, and it'll download them, and it'll take the ones that are, you know, of good quality, don't have maybe, you know, people standing in front of the Notre Dame Cathedral, and it'll map, it'll create them, and the program essentially creates a 3D construction of the cathedral. And I guess what they're tapping into is the fact that this is just this huge photo sharing website. It's just like a free digital database. And what they said is it creates, you know, in less than 2 hours, for example, they made a 3D reconstruction of St. Peter's Basilica using 151 photos that were taken by 50 different photographers. I think it's kind of neat because, I saw some of these images online, and they're very, you know, they look pretty precise for three-dimensional views. And it's like, you know, if you took one of those pictures that is used, you kind of had like a say in, I guess, like mapping the basilica. So I think what their goal is to create a three-dimensional view of entire cities. They're looking at Rome first to do over the next couple of years.
Gosh, I hope they use some of my vacation photos.
Yeah. Well, you think they could create a three-dimensional map of you, right? If like if you had a bunch of your own photos of yourself.
Yeah.
Is Will considered a vacation destination?
I think Will is actually considered maybe not so much a vacation destination, but a landmark, and that's what they're looking at. So
a more of a vacation experience.
Right.
All right, that sounds actually kind of cool, and I like it because it's using something for good on the web.
Yeah, a lot of times I think, like, you know, the Internet's great. I mean, I guess I wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for the Internet. But really, like, you know, what are we doing with it? So, it's
good to see positive things happening. All right, James, let's take it over to you for your first story of the week.
All right, my first story is from the University of Missouri, Columbia. And what they're doing there is printing out organs. They've got this like, bio paper that they can print cells onto them. So it's not like actual printing, but it kind of, I guess, acts like it places cells onto this paper the way printer places ink onto the paper. And what they're hoping to do is to be able to print out, I guess, like a bunch of different pieces of this paper with different cells on it and put together a three-dimensional organ that would then sort of grow into one of these organs that you could then use it to test various, you know, pharmaceutical products on it without having to actually test it on, say, like a real heart. But what they're finding with it that's kind of interesting is that the cells that they're putting on these test runs know where to go and how to arrange themselves to be in the proper place and then know how to act the right way when the time comes for their, you know, whatever they're programmed to do, they're actually doing that. So it's pretty cool, I think.
I don't even begin to understand how that works.
The gist of it is basically they're hoping in the future a researcher wants to test, like, a liver drug, they'll be able to print up a liver, basically, and grow, like, print out a liver,
yeah,
put the paper in the right liver shape, and then it becomes a liver.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
That's insane, and it's...
Yeah, it's insane.
It reminded me, I did a story, I think, maybe a month or so ago about printing, like, actual objects.
Yeah.
This kind of...
Yeah.
Now they've taken it already to, you know, the next level where printing organs. Not quite like
it
that?
Could get there someday.
You can't be like, I don't like my ear. Although maybe this is like, maybe I'll bet, you know, if it's successful, maybe they do plastic surgery and like print up a new tummy or something.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, print me a new face. All right. George, back to you.
Back to me?
Yeah.
Okay. My second and final story comes out of the German Aerospace Center Space Agency, which seems kind of redundant, but anyways, that's what they call themselves, where they're aiming to look at transforming industrial robots, like the things that are, you know, building cars, into smarter machines that can work alongside people. And basically what they're saying is that, you know, if in these factories where you have these huge industrial robots working, they're not really necessarily safe for people to go and work amongst them, I guess. You know, I mean, these robots are programmed to do certain tasks, and they're moving regardless of whether you're in the way or not. So, you know, the injuries that occur, people get kind of crushed or stuck in between these huge, you know, arms and robots that are moving. And what these researchers are working on is giving these robot arms, these robots, kind of like a sense of I guess, of touch. And what they're saying is that, you know, when you hit something with your arm, you know that you have the impact thing, with like the shock of the impact, thanks to, you know, our receptors and our muscles and joints. And the lead researcher in this has given a robot arm the same kind of kinesthetic sense by embedding torque sensors in its joints. And and basically it changes their electrical resistance when under tension in a particular direction. So if there's a robot that's programmed to like move back and forth and put something, if he feels something, or if it feels something in the way, it'll stop what it's doing and kind of jerk back, and then you can sort of, how you described it, you can sort of gently push the robot arm out of the way. What I thought was the most humorous aspect about this is that he tested it on himself. So he built this robot that could, you know, that could sense something unexpected, and then he had the robot hit him in the stomach and the chest and the forehead and the arm repeatedly, basically. And I guess he says there's quotes that he was definitely concerned when the blows began, but then he got used to them.
All right, so a kinder, gentler robot.
Right.
Okay. Cool. All right, James, second and last story for you too.
All right. So my last story is being published in the Current Biology. It's out of the University of Liverpool, and scientists there have made a discovery that mice rely on a special set of proteins in the urine to recognize each other. And I guess this is a surprise. They didn't know that's what mice were using to recognize each other. And so, and not only can they tell whether or not that, you know, they're sniffing another mouse, that there's another mouse with them, but they can also tell how dominant that particular mouse is. So female mice will use this as a way to figure out whether or not they have a suitable mate for them. And they, I guess, like, mice urine is kind of like spray paint tagging, sort of, cause like when mice run around and they're leaving their scent marks, who's ever got the most scent around the place is the one who's the most dominant. So sort of like, you know, when you see like one tagger, graffiti tagger, like tags enough places and they're like the dominant tagger. So that's kind of how female mice recognize who the dominant male mice are.
Isn't that kind of like dogs?
It is, but I don't know that dogs. I don't know if, you know, I don't know how dogs do it. I don't know that. I don't know if they use this mechanism. This was news to them that this is how mice were doing it. So I don't think that they knew exactly maybe how dogs were sniffing each other out. I'm not sure, because they said that this research is they're hoping that it'll be true to other animals as well.
Remember the nice animal behaviorist we had on a podcast early on? She listened to a podcast and emailed us, and then we had her on.
Yes.
Maybe she'll listen to us and email us.
Yeah, if anybody, open a clarification here.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
All right, James, that sounds good. Well, let's then take it to the voters, right? You guys are done?
Yeah,
yep.
Done.
Okay, does it feel weird only having two stories?
Yeah, it feels like half day. It's when you were in, like, elementary school.
We'll let our listeners know if it's a big letdown, or maybe they'll like it. Maybe they like the abbreviated version of the feedback. But anyway, there's two...
Maybe we talk too much.
Yeah.
What feels weird for this one is that I'm staring at about 50 surfers catching waves, which I'm not used to doing from my desk.
That is a little different. All right, well, James, I mean, do we need to recap? There are only two stories. I guess might as well. Jorge, what were two stories?
Okay, my two stories were vacation photos to create 3D models of world landmarks, and that creating better robots that know when they've hit you.
All right, James?
First one is researchers printing organs. Second one is Liverpool scientists reveal how mice recognize each other.
All right, so listeners, pick your favorite story. It doesn't matter why you like it. Actually, it does matter why you like it. Tell us why you like it, but you can pick the story for whatever reason. Maybe you just like the way James presented his story or Jorge's delivery. And you can email us at pod_cast@discovery.com. Or give us a call and leave a message. Tell us your favorite story and why you voted for it. And, of course, your name and where you're calling from. First name, 888-890-6339. 888-890-6339. Is it harder for you, Jorge, when James is gone? Do you have more
to
do?
It is a little harder.
A little lonelier?
Yeah, it's a little lonelier. I mean, I got you know, our other colleague, KCD, here. But,
KCD, yeah.
Sometimes I'm looking at James' empty desk right now, and I'm playing a sad song on my iTunes.
Doesn't my desk look sad without me there?
It does. Well, this new guy moved in here, by the way.
Yeah, right.
What? FYI.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim. His name is Jim, and he's going to be on our feed.
Actually, I actually kind of, like, made your cubicle part of my cubicle. I put a couch in the corner. It's really nice.
I can't wait to see it.
All right, James, have a great trip, and we'll talk to both of you guys next week. Thanks a lot.
Great, thanks.
And for Discovery News, I'm Will Johnson.